Praise the Lord. Well, how many have had a good week? Few people. That's good. It didn't have any major events in the United States this week, so that was good. Praise God. Father, we just are here, Lord. We're here for you. We just want to be able to connect with you today, Lord, in a real way. You are ours, Lord, and we are yours. We just claim, Lord, that union, Lord, that is given to us through the work of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that your love, God, is a conquering love. It conquered us, Lord, when we were steeped in sin and depravity. It conquered us when we've been in dark times. It's conquered us, Lord, when we've sometimes even been up high on a mountain. Lord, we pray that your love would do another conquering in us today, Lord, that it would overwhelm us, Lord, that it would saturate us, Lord. Lord, your love never fails. Never fails. It's never failed on me, and it never will. It's never failed, Lord, on anyone. Maybe we've had a perception that it's failed, but Lord, that's a lie. Your love never fails. Yeah. Your love is a conquering love. And so we submit and we yield to the love of God today. We submit and we yield to the power of God working in our lives today. The kingdom of God alive in us, Lord. We call upon that today. Thank you, Jesus. Lisa, I forgot about that. Father, we just lift Rowdy and Lisa before your throne of grace. Lord, just touch them now, Lord, physically. Just touch Rowdy, Lord, in his body, Lord, in a supernatural, substantial way. Lord, we pray for deliverance from all of the infirmities that continue to plague him, Lord. Touch Lisa, Lord, with your grace and your mercy, Lord. And they had like this sense of freedom and wanting individuals to have freedom and to have every chain broken off of their life. And sometimes, you know you have chains. Sometimes other people know you have chains. They're so obvious. But then there's times that we are chained with things that maybe we're not aware of. They seem normal to us. Our chains just seem like that's who we are. And I really believe that God wants to bring freedom today, not from those chains that are the obvious ones, but from the ones that the enemies had sneakily put on you and is keeping you from moving forward. Maybe not even of your own choice. They've just been, so to speak, placed upon you. And so I believe deliverance is in the house.
Amen.
Freedom is in the house. Matter of fact, as you walk through the corridor today, coming up into here, I believe that chains were falling off of you. Chains were falling off of me. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
So Lord, we agree, Lord, with those chains being broken in our lives. We agree, Lord, that we are part of the army that's rising up. That we are part of that generation, Lord, that is going to be, Lord, different and distinct from every other person, Lord, that we pass by on the streets. Because of the freedom that we have in our lives. So sing this one more time. There's an army rising up.
Good morning. I read something this week, and it's been dealing with me, and it's a lot like the freedom thing that they were just talking about. And so a friend of mine posted this week, it says, the scripture says, God will give you beauty for ashes. Mm. Ashes represent our broken selves and our broken dreams and our failures, our disappointments and our hurts. Here's the key. You have to let go. You have to let go of the ashes before you can receive the beauty. You have to let go of the old before you can receive the new. And so, you know, and we're talking about, Pastor Mike was talking about chains that are sneakily put on us. And some of you are probably wondering, what are those kind of chains? I mean, like, we know doctor's diagnosis, we know, you know, addictions. But what about the things that people have said to you or spoken over you in your presence and out of? I know what I heard a lot as a kid. That girl ain't going out much. That girl is just going to be nothing but trouble. She's going to be dead before she's 18.
Wow.
I'm 50. And I'm not dead.
Praise the Lord.
And it's because, number one, I received Christ as a child in the midst of stuff that I was going through.
Amen.
And then I didn't follow. But I had a mother who prayed over me, who prayed against her mother's speaking over me.
Amen.
So if you've had people who speak things like this into your life, those are ashes. Let them go.
Yeah.
They don't belong to you. They belong in the fire. What belongs to you is the beauty of what God gives you because you are His child.
Amen.
And because you are walking in that acceptance. Because it doesn't matter what people say about us or to us. What matters is that what God sings over us every morning.
Come on.
Every day. Every night. What He sings over us when we're sad. When we're deep in the darkness. What He sings over us when we're in the daylight and in His sunshine. I have a son who's my prodigal, and he's coming back.
Amen.
Because we prayed over him, and we prayed for him, but not just because of me, but because God sings over him every day.
Amen.
In the worst situations that he has been in, God has sung over him and brought him out of it. And He will do it for you.
Amen.
He's doing it for Junior.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it for Zeke and Tara and Panda. And He's done it for George. And He's done it for Chantal and Jerry and Gaylene and Pastor Mike. Oh, my God. Talk to him. He'll tell you. He's been there. He's done it for me, and He's doing it for Cameron. And He's doing it for all of you who are new here. Let Him sing over you. You may not always hear His song, but you will know it when it's walking in front of you and doors open for you and places that you didn't think would be open for you. And people that are aware of you in your life that you did not know were aware of you, that have nothing but good for you because God put them there.
Amen. Preach.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say real quick that Joseph will tell you that he's alive today because his mom prayed for him.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And you're alive, Vicki, because somebody prayed for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I do want to announce Thursday,
November 16th
at 5:30. You're doing a movie.
For the kids, yeah. Well, 18.
Yeah. Okay, and that's it. So that needs to be set up for a movie downstairs too, right?
Yeah.
I found that out yesterday. So. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so Panda and her team are going to be doing a movie for 12 to 18, which is basically youth age and a little bit above. So if you want to join or have somebody that wants to come, let them know about it. What's that?
Maybe wants to know what movie.
Oh, is it?
Heaven's for Real,
which is an awesome movie. It's a great movie. How many have seen that movie? Okay, it's good.
Can adults squeeze in or no?
You can. It's up to you. You feel comfortable with the next visual. I can't to come to you.
Yeah, well.
If you're going to have to be there. So.
Okay.
If you guys want to show up.
You said you got food, huh?
She said the word that is the draw.
Yes. It is attraction for people. Food is awesome. Okay, so last night, as I said, we were praying, and after prayer, you know how sometimes you get inspired? Anybody ever get inspired? It's nice to get inspired by the Lord, you know. Sometimes we get inspired by other things, you know, a song on the radio or something like that, but and sometimes that can be the Lord, and other times it's just like, oh, a feel-good song. But I was inspired, and I was just laying in bed before going to sleep, and I was just like meditating and thinking about, you know, God's goodness, and was just kind of opening up my heart and opening up, you know, for the service the next day, and just saying, Lord, you know, just let your glory rain down, let your power come. And immediately the Lord spoke this in my heart, and it was this verse that we're going to go over today, but I don't want to jump ahead, so. Seizing the kingdom. What's that?
Seizing the kingdom.
Seizing the kingdom. Most of the time, seizing is like a negative term. You know, like you seize somebody's property, or or, you know, somebody seized you by the ear, you know, to drag you across the room and talk to you because you were doing something wrong. But this is going to be a good thing. So I'm going to go ahead and have you read. Oh, is it not going? Oh, that's my bad. Got to turn it on. So I told you I'm not a technology guy. I was trying to pull that excuse over with him. He wasn't buying it. So Matthew 1:1-15. There we go.
Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, it's him, capital H, that's Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, the two disciples, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there was not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied unto John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let hear. Or he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, in these 15 verses, we have Jesus being questioned by John's disciples. Are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Now, if you guys remember the beginning of the year, we went through and we taught how John was the one who had the revelation, this is the Lamb of God, saw the glory of God rest upon Jesus in the form even of a dove as from heaven, and the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit came upon him, and a voice said from heaven, you know, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so this is John being in prison, and probably some of those chains that he's wearing in prison are getting to him. And he's feeling like, what's going on here? Am I being totally ignored? Or do you care that I'm in prison? You haven't visited? You know, who knows what he was thinking? But he sends to his disciples to find out, okay, are you the Messiah? Because I want to know. And Jesus says, okay, go tell them what you've seen. What I'm doing, what you hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, those who are in the poor are having the gospel preached to him. And there's this communication that Jesus makes back, like, what I'm doing proves that I'm the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Then it takes a different turn, and he starts to talk about John. And he starts to talk about John's ministry, that he was sent as a messenger, as a preparing the way for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then in verses 11 and 12, which is what I kind of want to focus on today, mainly 12. But in verses 11 and 12 in the New King James, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." So what Jesus is saying there, out of every single person that has been born up to John the Baptist from Adam and Eve, there was no one greater. Now, you're talking about David. You're talking about Solomon. You're talking about Moses. He's making a very big statement. And then he makes another radical statement. He says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And who's the he? John the Baptist. Some translations say, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven. So what is this kingdom of heaven that we're talking about? Well, we're talking about when we received Christ into our life, we don't just get saved so we don't go to hell. We enter into what's called the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven comes alive inside of us. It says the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not like over here where you run to go and find it, or you know, you go to a specific, you know, location, a church or something like that, is the kingdom of heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven's within us. And who's ever least in the kingdom of heaven is even greater than John the Baptist.
So until we come to the Lord and you know, we turn our life to him and we begin following him, does it lay dormant? Or because I know that there are times that people, I've heard people say, I hear this little voice saying to me, okay, you better not do that. I mean, is that the kingdom of heaven speaking out to me, saying, don't go there?
Two things could be happening there. That could be your conscience speaking to you, okay. You know, and especially if you've been raised in any kind of moral home where you've heard rights and wrongs. Could be Holy Spirit, you know, trying to draw you. And like before I was saved, the Holy Spirit started having me, I thought I was questioning, but Holy Spirit was having me question the things that I was doing. It's like, is this good for me? Is this, you know, is this going to, you know, take me into a positive direction? And I never thought like that before.
And what he was doing was not good for him.
Yeah, it was not good for me. I was 19 years old. You know, it was, you know, the days of when you just kind of, you know, party hardy, you know, just put it that way. And so, yeah, I wasn't doing things that were going to benefit me in the long run. And so Holy Spirit was bringing that up.
Right.
It says this, that what we are doing, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness. So before we know Christ, not that God's not working in our lives, not that he's...
Or the kingdom of heaven's in us.
But the kingdom of darkness is what's prevalent, because there's it says that the glorious light of the gospel shines in your heart. And so when the gospel message, which is Jesus Christ, died, was crucified, was buried in a tomb, waited there 3 days in the tomb with his body, but then other things were going on, you know, other places that he was, you know, taking the keys of the kingdom, or keys of the kingdom of darkness away from the devil and defeating him. So we have this Jesus who overcomes death, hell, and the grave. And now when we receive that work in our lives, we're now in the kingdom of heaven. We're translated from darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Okay. And from the days of John the Baptist until now. So from the day that John was born... So he was born, you know, 6 months probably before Jesus.
Just 3 months before Jesus.
3 months before Jesus. So he was born 3 months before Jesus. So from the day that John the Baptist was born, he's saying, until now, it says until right now is the way it says. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, before I go and break this down a little more, I'm going to read three other translations, because you can read the translation and sometimes not pick up on what's really taking place here. And I really want us to get this, because I think it will help us realize that it is okay to really put effort in and really put determination and maybe even fervency in or passion into seeking God, into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So the New Living Translation says this: I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, no one is greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty clear. Everyone that's lived, no one was greater than John the Baptist. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. See, instead of suffering violence, it's been forcefully advancing. And violent people are attacking it.
Oh.
Yeah, let's look at another one here, because we do have a lot to cover. God's word says, from the time of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful people have been seizing it. There's our seizing word. The Jonathan Mitchell New Testament says, now from the days of John the Immerser, that means baptism, until right now, the reign of the heavens is itself continuously pressing forward with urgency. And those urging and pressing forward toward the goal are one after another grasping it and then drawing it up to themselves. So what is this saying? This is saying that from the time that, now they're saying here that when John the Baptist actually started his ministry in the New Living Translation, that may be the case. It may have been right from when he started his public ministry at the Jordan baptizing people. Or it may have been, again, the dispensation when he was born. I don't know for sure. But from the days of him until right now, Jesus is saying, this kingdom of God has been advancing. And it's been advancing in a very, how does it say, continuously pressing, urgent way. Now, when I've always read that, I thought it was like suffering violence. And it sounded like, you know, like it was getting overtaken. But what it means is the kingdom of God is advancing. It's overtaking us. Now, how many can say that it was God that saved you instead of you finding God and, you know, you finding him? You know, he had a sign, here I am over here, and so you went over there to him, and you were the one that made it so that you were receiving his goodness into your life and getting saved. It was God, folks. Even if you think that you did that, it was him preparing your heart so that you could receive him. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's going forward. Even right now, the kingdom of God in this room is going forward. Some of you are experiencing a greater level of understanding of God's love than you ever have before. And it's just because we've come with an expectancy of receiving his love. We've come with an expectancy of having chains broken off our lives. Some of you today have had chains broken off your lives. And again, you may realize it right away, or you may not realize it till 5 years down the road. I think last week I was sharing how, I got choked, or was that a couple weeks ago? Well, I was getting choked in the middle of the night by some kind of entity. And it was like, you know, like this, and when I was first saved. And I ended up, you know, calling out the name of Jesus, and it left, and it didn't bother me, you know, again that night. But then maybe a few nights down the road or weeks later, I don't know what caused it, I would start getting choked in the middle of the night. And I would call out Jesus, and he would save me. There's power in the name of Jesus. I can tell you that's true. But what ended up happening is that later on down the road, I thought to myself, now, I haven't been choked in a long time. I was never prayed, okay, I was went through a prayer line, pray for being choked in the middle of the night. I never was. But I think what happened was, is that things broke off of me without me even knowing they were being broken off. Chains fell off. So I want to encourage you to believe today, put your faith, seize, as it says, forceful people have been seizing it, seize with faith the promise that God is here to deliver you. Even if you're not necessarily laid hands on or prayed for, just the very fact of you taking the courage to come here today, you're being set free. I'm guaranteeing that. Amen. Because Jesus is in the setting free business. So I want to go ahead and do this. I want to give you three illustrations in the Bible of where I believe these individuals in Jesus' ministry were literally seizing the kingdom of God. I mean, to the place where Jesus, like, whoa, he's like blown away at the way that they're responding to him because they're not in the norm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at it. Mark 5, 25 through 34. You going to read it?
Sure.
Okay.
This is some of my favorite portions of scripture right here. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And as he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction."
So in this account, we have a woman who has been suffering with a bleeding issue for 12 years. How many know that that is not a healthy situation? Mm-hmm. So that she had suffered many things under many doctors, mm-hmm. and basically was out of money. She was at the end of all hope. And it says that she, let me get back here. She said to herself, in herself, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She was thinking about seizing the kingdom of God. Now, she didn't know it was the kingdom of God. She just knew that this was Jesus and she needed to be healed. But something in her told her that if she could just get the hem of the rabbi's garment, the teacher's garment, she would be made well. In such a way that when she did touch his garment, I want to tell you, he was being thronged or he was being pressed in. It literally means that there were so many people around him that he was being pressured, like almost like, "Oh, I can't breathe."
A crowd at a concert.
And so this woman busts through that somehow. Most scholars think to touch the hem of her garment in that situation, she was crawling on her hands and knees. A very ill woman fighting her way through and then touching that garment. And at the moment she touched it, she seized the kingdom and drew from Jesus, without him even knowing it, the virtue of her healing. To the place where Jesus goes to his disciples, "Whoa, whoa, 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 who touched me?" Now, can you imagine that? I mean, like people all over, like they're like, "Lord, is this a riddle? You got some teaching in this? What do you mean, who touched you?" He goes, no. Somebody touched me. Somebody seized the kingdom. Somebody connected with God and drew virtue out of me. They drew healing out of me.
Mm-hmm. The reason that I love this portion of scripture so much is because it really does depict the power of God and and it's coming from the longing in her. It's not him wanting her to receive it. It's her needing to receive it. And I've told this story so many times, but I remember when we heard this one time when a band was here doing a concert, and the guy said, you know, there was a lot of people around Jesus, and only one person drew the virtue out of him. But there was a lot of people around Jesus.
Wanting stuff.
Wanting. But only she had the longing in her heart, deep in her heart, to draw something from him. They didn't. And are we one of the crowd, or are we her? And you know what? The choice isn't anybody's but ours. We get to make that choice. Do I need him so desperately? I'm willing to crawl on this filthy dirt among people's feet who's walked through dung, cow poop, and horse poop, and mule poop, and everything else.
Camels.
Camels. Oh, yeah, I guess, right? But, because they wore sandals and it all got in there and it stunk. I mean, she got down in the sewer, you guys, to crawl to him because she needed him so desperately.
Desperately.
Desperately needed him. And what I'm going to just say is, like, this woman, I'm telling you, bleeding for 12 straight years, she was anemic. She was so sickly that she probably had absolutely no strength. She probably pale as a ghost, as pale as she could be. And she was crawling through feet and legs and garments and dirt and muck and junk to get to him. What is your issue? Her issue was bleeding. All of us have an issue. We all have something.
We all got issues.
We all have issues. But let me just tell you, Jesus is the one that comes to
Amen.
Offer the tissue for the issue.
Amen. Well, that's good. Tissue for the
issue. He comes to give you that. He comes to bring you what you need to solve your issue. And guys, again, it's our choice. It's us. We're the ones that make the choice. Not him, not my spouse, not my kids, not anybody. Just him. And me. And I make that choice.
You probably need this too. Okay. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. It says that when she touched it, immediately the blood flow stopped in her. Notice Jesus says, your faith. That's like saying, daughter, you seized the kingdom. You appropriated by your faith, your confidence in what I could do if you could just touch me. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Love it.
Let's look at another one. Mark 10:46-52.
Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of
Timaeus,
sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, what that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road.
So here we have another individual that is in a situation. He's in probably a large crowd of people. He has a garment that he wears, that he covers himself with, that designates to everyone who sees him that he is somebody that needs assistance. He probably had potentially some kind of cup or something in front of him that people would put money in there just so that he could live, just so he could buy food, just so that he could have a way to survive. And so he hears this commotion going by, and he hears that it's Jesus. And he's heard the stories, obviously, about Jesus. And he gets radical. He starts saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The son of David was a key statement. He is saying, Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me. And the people, he can't hear you. Forget it. They're all over the place. And he goes louder. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on. I don't count loud how loud he screamed. He probably screamed so loud.
Obnoxiously.
That he got his attention. And Jesus says, go get him. And he said, be of good cheer. The master wants you. So what ends up happening? He ends up going to Jesus. He ends up sitting before him. And he has the opportunity of Jesus saying, what do you want? And he says, I want to be able to see, Jesus. I mean, that's very interesting that Jesus to a blind man says, what do you have need of? Obviously, he must have known that he was a blind man. But maybe not, because before he went to Jesus, he did something. He took this garment, which was basically his livelihood garment, and he threw it aside. He discarded it. He seized the kingdom. He said, you know what? I'm not going to need this anymore because I'm going to Jesus. Ooh, do you feel that?
Yes.
I'm going to Jesus and I don't need this garment anymore. I don't need this crutch anymore. I don't need this handicap. Mm-hmm. I don't need this identification. Yes. I'm going to have a new identification. And that's the healed man by Jesus.
Yeah.
The one that did not see before, and now I see. And he went to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you need? I want to see. And Jesus says, you know what? Go your way. And Jesus doesn't wave his hands over him, doesn't say anything. He just says, you know what? You did it. You seized the kingdom. Go away. You're healed. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Isn't that crazy? That's radical. I mean, that's like saying, you know what? Leave my past behind me. I'm going forward in God. I'm not going to let the situations that have trounced me and trashed me and pulled me down and kept me from being everything that God wants me to be. I'm not going to let them do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's making a definite choice. It's drawing a line in the sand, said, I'm not going back.
It's the army rising up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was thinking about that as we were singing that song, it's an army rising up. I'm thinking to myself now, I don't know of any wimpy army. Like, you know, oh, please don't kill us. Oh, please don't shoot us. I mean, you know, they go and they rise up and they, you know, they go to battle. And sometimes I think that we are, oh, please don't, you know, and we think that we're battling all this stuff, but it's already been battled, guys. It's a did deal. Remember we talked about that? It's a done.
It's finished.
Mm-hmm. And we battle what's already been battled. And the enemy takes us into that battle just to keep us occupied there so that what the Lord has for us to do, we can't do. At what point do we say, enough is enough? No more. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not allowing this anymore. The army in me, it's rising up. And I'm going to do what the Lord called me to do, no matter who or what or when or where or why.
Amen. One more. There's probably more in the Word. You guys can probably think of others, but these three came to me, and they're all a little different in the distinction of the way that these individuals sees the kingdom. This is going to be Matthew 8, 5 through 13.
Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. That's big, you guys. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and the other, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done. And his servant was healed that same hour.
That same hour. So here we have a centurion, a Roman centurion. He was a, you know, a Gentile, and it's like he knew he was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a servant that his heart felt for, and the servant was, where did I get lost it here? Oh, come on.
Paralyzed,
yeah. I'm trying to get it here.
And dreadfully tormented.
Dreadfully tormented. Paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. I mean, he had compassion for his servant. And the centurion says, Jesus, will you heal him? And Jesus says, yeah, let me come with you. No. I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. it wouldn't be right.
Can you explain quickly the difference between him and what it says, no one in Israel? I mean, explain to those that may not understand. He's not part of...
He is not part of Israel other than that he lives there. He is most likely from Rome or some other Roman province, and he is now there basically doing a soldier's job. But obviously he's heard about Jesus.
So he's been deported.
He's been deported, yeah. Or, you know, he's been...
Deployed.
Deployed. Deported.
Oh, you guys will still remember that. Deployed. Sorry. Whoopsie.
Deployed, yeah. He's on a mission. Yeah.
I do that all the time. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's where we get humor from.
Oh,
I mean, it's the kind of things. But anyway, so we have him, and he is now in this nation, and he is an individual who is probably helping to keep order and law and all that stuff. He has soldiers underneath him. And when Jesus said, "I have not seen this kind of faith, this kind of seizing kingdom faith in anyone," right, even all of Israel, he's including his disciples. He's including, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. He's including everybody
John.
He's ran into up to this point.
John.
Yeah, if you want to, because John was in Israel. He's saying this kind of faith is radical faith. This is seizing kingdom faith. Because all I have to do is speak. This man understands the power that I carry and the power that can be used for his benefit. Yes.
Another thing, too, is that he was a Roman centurion, and he says, "I'm a man of authority." But he went to God humbly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I am not worthy for you." When in many people's eyes, Jesus was just another person.
Right.
And he didn't order him to come and do it. He went and he asked him to do it.
Right.
With
purity of heart, right.
Right.
And even submitting to Jesus' authority to the place where he says, "No, I'm not even worthy to have you come under my roof. But just speak the word, because I know you carry the power."
But you know what? I think a lot of us get hung up on the, I'm not worthy part. We get so hung up that we're not worthy to receive anything from God. Like, look, if you just look at my past, you'll know. Like, I don't have to point it out to you. It's there. But this centurion said, "No, I'm not worthy, but if you speak the word," he allowed his faith to be more prevalent than his unworthiness.
Right.
And because it was Jesus' worthiness that was going forth and healing that guy, his servant, that's the key right there, that our faith is stronger than how unworthy the enemy wants to make us. How strong is our faith in God? Is it stronger than what everything else that comes battling against us? That's where it needs to be. And sometimes, you guys, that's that army rising up and saying, "Okay, I'm going to have faith." And 1 minute later, "Okay, I'm going to have faith." And the enemy speaks something else. "Oh, no, going to have faith." Sometimes we have to do that. Time and time and time again, until finally it's like, "Whoo! Did you see that faith take action right there?" Like, we have to do that with ourselves sometimes. But you guys, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that when we feel unworthy, we aren't worthy. He is, and he gives us his righteousness, because there's none worthy. The scripture says nobody's worthy, but he gives us his worthiness. So don't get so hung up on, I'm not worthy. And this centurion, who wasn't even really a believer, though he believed that Jesus could help his servant, he didn't get hung up on the unworthiness. He's like, "You just speak the word. You speak it, and I know he's gonna be well." And we have to do that, guys. We really do. We have to allow our faith to be stronger than what we think our unworthiness level is.
Yeah, I think that's a key that you're talking about here. I think seizing the kingdom takes an ability to realize that you're loved beyond all of your failures, that you're loved beyond all your mistakes, that God is for you, that he's not against you, and that he doesn't look at your past and use that as a measurement for how much he's willing to work in your life. He uses your heart and your condition of your heart towards him, gives him open opportunity to work in your life. Because if it was about, you know, our record, then you know what? A lot of us would be disqualified, including myself. We would. The only thing that makes us qualified is Christ qualifies us. And he fully qualifies us. Praise the Lord. So let me read this one verse again. Is that one verse? Yeah. I tell you the truth. All of you who have lived, none of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. That's you. If you've given yourself over to the Lordship of Christ, that's you. You're greater than John the Baptist. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And if you haven't been in the place where you said, you know what, Lord, I submit to your Lordship in my life, I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God is advancing in your life. The very fact that you're here today is telling me that his kingdom is advancing in your life. And that all you maybe need to do is violently, as an individual, attack it, go after it. And that may be just surrendering.
Just deciding.
I mean, surrendering can be a huge way of seizing the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we always think seizing something means you got to like overpower it and like, you know, manhandle it. But in God's way, sometimes getting on your face before him and just saying, God, do whatever you want to with me,
mm-hmm.
is seizing the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
Amen. So does anyone have anything else they want to share? Anybody? Nobody, huh? Does anyone need prayer? Nobody needs prayer. You need prayer, hon? Well, come on up if you're
Jesse,
good with
could
that.
Could we have some music?
Have some music.
You guys, this house is a no-pressure house. Nobody's
no pressure.
Pressuring anybody to do anything. If you know you need it, come get it. If you need it but you're a little afraid to come get it, just draw one of us aside later. I mean, it's no big deal. But don't not come, because he's so great, you guys.
Yeah.
He really is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. So, Joe, Christine, if you guys are okay, if you want to pray for anyone who's... I'm talking to Joe and Christine, just kind of whispering so over you a little bit. Would you like to pray for people today at all, if anyone's sick up front? Just open for if anyone wants to come up, because I know that there's sometimes, you know, just something simple as a flu that we may be fighting. And, you know, prayer changes things. And Joe and Christine carry healing. They actually are a big part of the healing rooms. And I think you guys meet at 5:30 on Monday nights, right, at Le Chateau. So if you ever know anybody that's really dealing with an illness, maybe they've gotten a bad report that they only have, you know, months to live, get them down to the healing rooms. They are something that originated from a man named John G. Lake. And when they were in their full, this was back a lot of years ago, I think it was, the 20s or 30s, if I remember right? 1920, I think it was. Anyway, he ended up having almost all of the hospitals empty because people kept coming to the healing rooms for their sicknesses and diseases. So I didn't know if you guys knew about that, but I thought I would let you know, because I don't know if everybody knows about the healing rooms. So Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, God, that you would teach us all, Lord, in our own ways, how to seize the kingdom. Lord, how to have radical faith. Lord, how to have that belief, Lord, in your power, in your authority. Lord, that desperation, Lord, where we throw away, Lord, our old life, Lord, to believe that you're going to give us the newness of life that we can walk in. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're working all things in our lives, Lord, for your good pleasure. And we just bless every single I bless every single individual that's here today. Every individual that hears my voice, I bless them with the light and the counsel of God, with the wisdom of God, with the power and the glory and the health of God. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.